So before I get started, I just want to say a big thank you to Laurie and the rest of her team here at the Wellness Business Summit. It's a big honor to be invited to do the closing keynote for the conference, even if it is virtual. But being that that's what I'm all about, and you know, the title of the book and the presentation being Virtual Freedom is kind of fitting as well at the same time. And at the end of the presentation, I very much do look forward to answering as many questions as we can squeeze in. And I'm sure there's going to be quite a few that pop into your head as we're going through the presentation. So please make a note of them on your phones or a piece of paper or whatever, and I'll be happy to try and get to as many of them as I possibly can. So I want you to think back to when you first started your business. The enthusiasm that you had, the passion that you had, the energy that you had to be able to get up every single day and to do something that you really felt compelled to do. Like, this was your calling. This was the reason why you were put on this earth. This was the reason why you quit your job. That security and that stability that we all enjoy when we have that full-time employment. But then that bell goes off inside of us and that entrepreneurial fever starts to take over, and you just had enough of working a job and calling somebody boss, and this is it. It's your time to be able to break away. For me, that moment came at about 37,000 feet. My last ever job, I was working for an extremely successful entrepreneur who was running several businesses out of Miami, Florida. And the one that I was engaged with was an infomercial business. And in the couple of years that I worked with him, I learned a lot, a hell of a lot. I've been very blessed to have a couple of mentors in my life. The first one was a gentleman under the name of Graham Bond. Absolutely no relation to the spy. But Graham taught me how to be professional, how to have ethics, how to build relationships properly for the long term. And he taught me a hell of a lot when it comes to sales and marketing. But more so in the old school mentality of being part of a business, part of something bigger than just me. And then there was this boss, my current boss, who taught me how to not manage people, how to not brand, how to not be, quite frankly, a good provider of products and services. How he got to be as successful as he was to this day is a mystery to me, because I did not enjoy working for this person at all. Away from work, a very super cool guy. Like I said, super successful, floor seats at the Miami Heat games, and, you know, VIP tickets to Prince's, you know, pre-Super Bowl concerts and all the rest of it. But once that hat, you know, that work hat was popped onto his head, it was terrible. It was awful, to the point where he would even have me BCC him into each and every email that I sent our clients. And he would also likewise get a copy of every email that landed in my inbox as well. The micromanagement was through the roof. And for me, like I said, that moment when enough was enough came at 37,000 feet. I was on a plane just like this one here on the screen, coming back from Miami after a one-month-long trip over there. And, you know, we'd done everything from casting new infomercials to writing scripts. I even did some voiceover work and a load of other stuff for him. And I just realized right there and then, as I floated back home here to the Philippines, that enough truly was enough. I wrote my resignation email on the plane on my laptop, and once I landed back in Hong Kong for my connecting flight, I connected to their brilliantly fast airport Wi-Fi and sent that email and resigned from my last ever job. I fast forward a few years later, I'm very successful myself. I've got about 130 people working for me in an outsourced call center facility that I built here in the Philippines. That business is still running today. But after a few years, I was starting to suffer. My health started dwindling. my you know workout regime basically disappeared. My diet became poor, and even though successful wise we were doing really well from a business sense, I personally was starting to ache quite a bit. And in the book Virtual Freedom, I talk about this moment where the passion, the enthusiasm for our business honestly starts to dwindle. We start thinking about the fact that we've got to go to quote unquote work. And I was working 15, 16 hour days for most of those 3 years to be able to build this business up. On the outside, everything was great, but inside, I was suffering from what I call superhero syndrome. I believed that there was nobody else better than me to do my work in my business. If there was a way for me to be able to not hire somebody and do the work myself, I would follow that particular avenue. If there was a way for me to learn how to do something so I didn't have to pay someone to do it for me, I would do that. You know, ultimately, the word recharge at this point in my life had started to be associated only with my mobile phone. Something had to give. And at the end of 2009, I burned out. I woke up one morning and I couldn't do it anymore. My body was telling me that it couldn't get up, it couldn't get out of bed. Now, this might sound a little bit melodramatic, but I give you this backstory because it's important to understand that when you're building a business, you should not become the bottleneck in your business. You truly should not become the all-encompassing go-to person in your business. This is not an ego fest. This is about doing things in the right way. And going into 2010, I was very clearly admitting to myself that I was no longer running my business. My business had started to run me. And even though in 2010 I made changes, the damage had already been done. Sitting in a chair for 15, 16 hours a day for 3 years in a row had crushed my lower spine. And at the end of 2011, my L5-S1 disc completely herniated. It macheted its way into my sciatic nerve, and I felt the most incredible amount of acute pain that I've ever experienced in my life, running all the way from my butt down to the end and the bottom of my right leg. In fact, the only way that I could describe the pain would be as if literally somebody had stabbed me in my buttock and had ripped the knife down the back of my leg. And that's a pretty gruesome, you know, description there, but that's honestly how much pain I was in. This is me now. It's my back, obviously, not all me, but I now have 2 rods and 4 titanium screws at the base of my spine, and I spend around 70% of my working day now standing up. How I wish I started doing this in 2007, 2008. But the fact of the matter is, you can't erase what's happened in the past. I look at everything that's happened to me as an entrepreneur, as a husband, as a father, as a learning experience. I no longer go in to my office very often. We now have about 300 people working for us. We've doubled our workforce. We've tripled our revenue from an annual basis. And I've been able to create a very popular blog, a very popular podcast. I get invited to speak on a regular basis all around the world. And I've built an online community that now fuels my business. And I can do it pretty much 90% of the time working out of my home office. And like I said, 70% of the time, I stand up. But the beautiful thing is, I no longer work those 15, 16-hour days. I now work an average of 6 hours a day, Monday through to Thursday. I have a 3-day weekend. I'm a better person for it. I'm a better husband and a better father for it. But most importantly, I'm a better entrepreneur for it. And my business likes the way that I run my companies today. What I discovered throughout the course of 2010, as I took myself out of my business slowly but surely, was the fact that I should ultimately be focusing on the bigger picture. and should not be bogged down by the day-to-day tasks that my business demands of me. As entrepreneurs, we should be doing what we do best, and we should be delegating the rest. That's a tweetable. See the little blue bird? I'll just wait. It's only 100 odd characters. At Chris Ducker, send. Very good. Thank you for playing. So I believe that every entrepreneur at some point in their career is going to come to a crossroads. And I truly believe this. It happened to me, and it's happened to so many other people that I've worked with, both as a business coach, as a consultant, or purely just as a content creator online. Ultimately, you will come to a fork in the road at some point where overwhelm will hit, and you'll be faced with one or two options. Option number one is you're going to burn out, just like I did. And you won't be any good to anybody at that point, particularly the people that you want to help and serve as customers. Option number two is to go ahead and build your team. Now, unfortunately, I've seen entrepreneurs make pretty much the same mistakes over and over and over again when it comes to setting up their virtual teams. First up, they don't have a good enough understanding as to the type of outsourcing that they should be getting involved with when it comes to the certain tasks and projects and roles that they can actually outsource. And don't worry, we're going to be going through all of that in the next 30 to 40 minutes or so. The second thing is that they hire people in the wrong way. Not only do they hire the wrong people to start off with, but they make incredible assumptions that those people are going to be fully trained and understand exactly what they need them to do from day one of their job actually going into action. And that is all wrong. These three mistakes right here are the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make when it comes to starting off with outsourcing and growing their business through utilizing the power of virtual staff. So there are three types of outsourcing available to each and every single one of you right now. First up, there's task-based outsourcing. Now, this is quite simple to explain. Let's say you need a logo designed. Now, you should not be in Photoshop designing logos yourself unless you're actually a graphic designer. I don't know what it is with entrepreneurs. You know, we kick off that superhero syndrome, it comes into play, and all of a sudden we're graphic designers, or we're web developers, or, you know, we're professional video editors, or whatever the case may be. These are tasks that you should be outsourcing to other people, handing them off, delegating to people that really know what they're doing. But the beautiful thing about task-based outsourcing is that you just outsource that task and it's done. A logo designed, a little bit of audio transcribed and turned into maybe a blog post or an ebook to be able to give away on your website or even sell on Kindle. Maybe you just need a landing page put together for your new, you know, opt-in giveaway that you want to go ahead and create an email list for. All these things are just one-off tasks. Once they're done, they're done, and everybody moves on. And you should always pay for these types of outsourcing via just the task. Don't pay per hour, pay for the task. Plain and simple. The second type of outsourcing is project-based. Now, that's a little bit different to task. It's a little bigger. Maybe it's something like a redesign of a new website. So you've got maybe two or three people working on this project that might last maybe 3 months all in all. You'll have obviously a web designer, right? And a designer and a developer are two completely different roles. And it's important for you to understand that. So you'll maybe have a graphic designer or a web designer. You'll have a web developer, the guy who actually program and code your site and make sure that it looks great, not only on a desktop, but also laptops and now tablets and mobile devices as well. And then you might have a copywriter to help create sales copy for the important pages on your website as well. Once those projects are done, they're done. And everybody, again, moves on. Here's a quick showdown, as I call it, between revolving tasks and project-based tasks. You can see the type of tasks in purple on the left-hand side, such as filtering email and updating your social media sites, managing your daily schedules, transcribing voicemails, that sort of type of thing. These are tasks that need to be done almost daily. So these are the type of tasks that you want to give to somebody who's with you full-time or at least part-time. But then you've got projects on the right-hand side there in the green with things like, you know, arranging your speaking schedule, researching ideas for a book that you're thinking of putting together, designing and launching that new website, and a number of different things. Now, these are just a few examples. In the book, obviously, I go into a lot more detail. And then lastly, going back to part-time or full-time employees, lastly, the third type of outsourcing is role-based outsourcing. Now, I love building teams of people. If there's one thing that I've learned in delegating is that you truly must hire the right person for the right role. You know, one glove does not fit every hand, right? So it's important to understand that when you're building your team, you're hiring the right people for the right types of roles. And nowadays, with outsourcing being the way it is, there's really nothing that you can't outsource. You know, it's been around for a long, long time, this concept of outsourcing. You know, there are smaller companies started outsourcing their, you know, their bookkeeping or their recruitment or their, you know, IT management and that sort of type of thing. And, you know, things have just, you know, gotten a little bit out of control over the last sort of 10 or 15 years. But, you know, these huge call centers in India and even here in the Philippines and other places as well. But you know, the type of outsourcing we're talking about today is helping that small to medium-sized business owner build and run and support their business on a day-to-day basis, utilizing virtual assistants and other types of virtual staff. So what I want to do here is I want to break down how a virtual team will actually interact with each other once you've grown the business to a point where you need somebody full-time and you bring on board a number of different people. And then I want to sort of introduce you to the types of roles that I see almost every entrepreneur utilizing nowadays, particularly people that have got online businesses or at least offline businesses with a big online presence for things like marketing and customer service and things like that. So right in the middle here, we have the general VA or the GVA. Now these people morph really, really well into a project manager further down the road when you need them. But ultimately, this is the incubus right here of your team. This is the focus right here. And I always say that every single entrepreneur doing business in today's world really should have a GVA on board, even if it's just a part-time role to help them with things like social media and email and those time-sucking tasks that take so, so much time every single day away from our focus of actually building our businesses. Remember, as entrepreneurs, we should always be focused on growth. The moment we stop thinking about that is the moment that our businesses not only stop growing, but a lot of them will actually start dwindling away as well. And sometimes when we spread our focus out across a number of different areas of our business, that's exactly what starts to happen. So that general VA will do things like managing your email, updating your social media, doing your online research, handling your travel schedules, and that sort of type of more admin type work. After that, we have our SEO or our web marketer type of VA. Now, I don't like the term SEO or search engine optimization. I'm not a big fan of SEO either. In fact, every piece of content that I've created online over the last 5 years has had zero focus from an SEO perspective. I don't care about keywords and, you know, how many monthly hits this page or that page gets on my website. All I care about is serving my audience in the right way, answering the questions that they have in their minds, and you can do that by simply just listening to them, because they will tell you eventually when you build up a good enough relationship with them, and then obviously providing solutions to the problems that they're happy to obviously part with cash for, right? So SEO for me is a little overrated, but it does still hold a place in today's online business world in regards to really utilizing that search facility on sites like Google and Bing and Yahoo and that sort of type of thing. So I like to use the term web marketer a little bit more, because these people now are becoming a little bit more marketing focused and not so much keyword and ranking focused. After that, you've got a content writer. Now, a lot of the entrepreneurs that I come across and work with, you know, they enjoy creating content and they enjoy putting it out there, but they don't necessarily enjoy writing per se. And we live in a very new media rich type of world nowadays where social is king. Even when it comes to content creation and marketing, every tweet that you post, every Facebook status, every single Facebook status that you put up on your page or in a group or even on your personal profile, you know, these are all things that I would deem as content in today's world as a business owner. So content writers can sometimes alleviate that burden from us and not have us thinking about creating content in a written format all the time. These guys are also fantastic because of the way that their minds work in terms of a creativity perspective for things like ghostwriting books or reports or ebooks that you might be giving away to build your email list and create an email funnel and that sort of type of thing. And they're also fantastic at things like transcription work for audios and videos and that sort of type of stuff as well. Now, if you think about a podcast, for example, a 45-minute podcast episode, so something along the lines of this presentation, 45 minutes of chit-chat will come out at around 6,000 to 7,000 words, depending on how fast that person's talking. That right there is the perfect length for a Kindle book or for a giveaway on your website. So, you know, you can quite easily just record maybe one of your live presentations, a coaching session with one of your clients or something along those lines, and then turn that into a great free report or even a paid piece of training as well. Next up, you've got your mobile app developer. Now, these people are usually paid per project. Again, I absolutely suggest that you pay any virtual workers that you end up teaming up with on a per project basis if they're not full-time or part-time with you personally. The reason why is because you'll find that because of the arm's length between you and whoever you're working with in that virtual working setup, some of them can actually take advantage. Surprise, surprise, right? And they might say that they need 25 hours on a project when they really only need 15 hours to complete a project, for example, say. So pay per project, always pay per project or per task. So the mobile app developer, you know, it goes beyond creating cool apps that help you, you know, do everything from search for, you know, fashion ideas right the way through to, you know, what was that called? The iFart app. That was an interesting concept. They've sold millions of copies of that app. People, for some reason, just find farts funny. I don't know. Go figure. But fact of the matter is that, you know, this is something that is developing. It is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And these people are out there and they are great to work with as and when you need to build anything mobile related. And this actually can also be tied in with web development for responsive websites as well. You must make sure that with an average of around 35% of every website's traffic nowadays coming from a mobile device like an iPad or an iPhone or an Android device, you must make sure that your website looks good on all these devices, and a mobile app developer can help you with some of that stuff as well. Next up is an audio and a video editor. Sometimes these guys will be combined, some of them they'll be separated. So you get some that just focus entirely on audio and some entirely on video. If you want any cool video animations done, then you hire a video animator. But again, these guys are paid on a per task basis unless, like myself, you do a certain amount of audio and video every month and you end up bringing on board somebody full time. But these are, you know, these are people who really know their craft. Again, you know, I made a little joke earlier on about don't messing around in Photoshop if you're not a graphic designer. Likewise, don't start editing audio and video unless you truly know what you're doing. Next up is a graphic designer. Now, you'd be amazed, like I said, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek and a little bit of a joke here, but you'd be amazed how many entrepreneurs think they're actually graphic designers. Everything from, you know, the aforementioned logo to business cards, flyers, posters, you know, you name it. Fact is that a poorly designed graphic in any way is a bad representation for your business. Don't do this on the cheap. If you're going to invest in anything from a branding perspective, make sure you hire a graphic designer that really knows what they're doing. And a graphic designer can be, again, on a per project or per task basis, but maybe if you're doing a lot of work, you'll end up hiring somebody part or full time as well. And then lastly, we have our web developer. Now, if you're anything like me, you're not very techie at all, and truly, I'm not. You know, people often ask me how I've been able to create a large following online through blogging and podcasting and video marketing and everything else. And I can tell you something right now. It is because I am truly focusing on what I do best and delegating all of the rest of the work. I've got to the point now in the way that things are set up with my team where if a task lands in my inbox or on my desk, the first question I ask myself is, can someone else do this? And 90% of the time, they can. And that's exactly what I want. I want to be able to offload this extra work, all this techie work, particularly to people that truly know what they're doing so that I'm not spinning my wheels doing it myself. And that web developer is doing exactly that. They're going to be updating your website. If you're on WordPress, they're going to be keeping all of your plugins up to date to make sure there's no security risk. They'll be doing backups and everything else involved in creating and maintaining websites on a regular basis. At the very least, if you are creating content on a regular basis, I truly believe that you should keep a web developer that you're comfortable with, at least on some kind of a monthly retainer, if they're not working for you enough to be called a full-time employee. Even if it just ends up being $100 or a couple of $100 a month, having somebody as your go-to person as and when you need them, if there's a problem, if there's an update needed, is just a great smart investment to make if you're utilizing the online world properly to run and grow your business. Now, once all these people start interacting together, that's when the real fun begins. But you will find that after you've brought on board maybe two or three of these people, either on a part or a full-time basis, what will happen is your mindset will now shift again from, you know, working on your business to now again being trapped working inside the business by managing these people. And you don't want that to happen. Once you realize it's happening, and you will realize, and it will happen a lot of the time, once you realize it, you've got to remove yourself from the business again and go ahead and promote that general VA and have them morph into that project manager role as and when you need them to do it. Because then what happens is you end up working with just that GVA or that project manager, and they end up working with everybody else in the other parts of your business. So again, you have just one point of contact and you start working on the bigger picture again. Now, the big question is, where do you find people? You know, where can you find all these different types of VAs to help you? Well, there are a number of different places online. If you add a .com to any of the logos that you see right here, you'll be taken directly to those websites. And, you know, everything from logo design at 99 Designs, right the way through to, you know, websites being built from scratch on Freelancer, maybe even, you know, things like those transcriptions and, you know, different graphic designs, anything that you really need done on an ad hoc basis, Elance, Odesk, they work great. And then obviously there's Virtual Staff Finder, where if you're looking for part-time or full-time general VA VAs to come on to your business, that matchmaking service will provide them for you as well. So there are plenty of ways to get started. The most important thing is that you actually do get started. And you can do that by just offloading that first task or two to one of these websites right here. So when it comes to hiring people, here are a few not so secret secrets that I want to share with you. When you're looking to hire people to be able to come on board on a part-time or a full-time basis, and pretty much all of the presentation going forward now is going to be based around those concepts of building that team and not so much the ad hoc task type outsourcing. The first thing that you've got to look for in a potential employee is the skill set. Now, some of this is going to sound like real common sense, but you'd be amazed how many people glaze over this stuff when they're hiring people virtually. So the skill set, can they actually do the job for which they're being hired? Have they got the relevant experience? Have they listed it on their resume? Can you double check with references that they've done this type of work before? If the answer to any of those questions is a resounding no, then you move on to the next candidate. They simply must be able to do what they're being hired to do. On top of that, the mindset of that potential employee is extremely important as well. Now, this is different to personality that we'll talk about in a minute. The mindset of that employee is very, very important. Every single interview that I do, I ask one question without fail, and that is, what have you done in the last 6 months to better yourself? I want to know. Give me something. Anything. Tell me you've read a particular book, you're listening to a podcast on a regular basis, you've enrolled at local community college for a course on XYZ, maybe you've logged on at lynda.com or udemy.com and taken an online course to learn a new skill. Show me that you're investing in yourself before I start investing in you as a potential employer. And then lastly, personality. Personality for me is actually the most important trait of any person that I bring on, whether it be even from a task basis, but particularly for part-time or full-time employees. If you don't have the personality that gels with me, it's not going to work. And nowadays, I want to know that people have Googled me and my businesses before I interview them. Hell, I got a Wikipedia page with my name on it. If you can't find out about me and what I'm all about before I interview you, then you're obviously not that interested in what I'm going to be providing you as a potential employer. So ask questions, find out what they do on the weekends, see what their ideas are for this or that scenario. You know, literally throw them a few curveballs here and see what their reactions are going to be. Think a little outside of the box with some of the questions that you might ask, and then truly see what their personality is like, because the personality from this point is probably the most important thing, and it's the one thing that I focus on the most when I'm hiring people for the first time. Now, this is Hannah Montana. and I'm showing you this slide not because I'm a massive fan of Hannah Montana. It's great for teenage girls, but not so much for middle-aged grown married men and fathers. But the fact of the matter is, this show was huge 8, 9, 10 years ago. And I'm showing it to use as a way to be able to illustrate a story. I was working with a client based over in Australia, and he had just hired his first virtual assistant, and he was super excited about being able to offload all of the tasks that were driving him up the wall in terms of his day-to-day management of his business. And long story short, he had set this task for his new VA to go ahead and put a list of all of the different types of Hannah Montana merchandise that was out there so that he could go ahead and buy some of this stuff for his daughter, who was a big Hannah Montana fan, for an upcoming birthday. So The VA wanted to do a great job. It was one of the first ever tasks that she did for this particular client of ours. And she decided to go ahead and create this spreadsheet where she was listing all of the different types of items that were available, the prices for those items. And, you know, she sort of made the spreadsheet look pretty using pink and purple and things like that, you know, being that it was Hannah Montana branded. And she sent it through to her boss, this Australian entrepreneur. And so he gets onto Skype with me and he is cursing. And, you know, anybody that knows any Australians, you know that they like to curse even more than us Brits. And so, you know, he was really going off on it and, you know, really showing his dissatisfaction in terms of how the VA had done the work. And I said, well, you know, what was the problem, Jason? And he said, well, you know, she's used purple and pink on the spreadsheet. Our company colors are green and blue. And she's, you know, put together, you know, the name of the product and the price. But there's no link for me to be able to buy it anywhere. And there's no comparison prices for other websites as well. And she's used Times Roman size 12. I like Arial size 10. And I stopped him at this point. And I just asked him the question. Did you tell your VA all these things? Did you actually tell him what you wanted and how you wanted this put together? And he said, well, no, I just assumed that she would know. So he made an assumption. This is the single biggest problem and biggest mistake that people make when they start working with new VAs is they assume that they're going to be trained perfectly right out of the box. That's not the case. Now, we assumed that Miley Cyrus was going to look just like this forever and ever. How wrong we were. How wrong we were. So I want to talk about the VA training trifecta. There are three main ways to be able to train a virtual assistant. First up is a written way. And this is not actually just about training. This is also about delegating those tasks on a regular basis too. So either email or using a project management system like Basecamp or something similar, or even short voice notes that you might have transcribed with an online service such as speechpad.com or something like that and then sent through to VA for training or delegating. The second part of that trifecta is audio. I like audio. I'm at airports a lot. I'm traveling a lot. So I like to be able to just flip out my iPhone and go ahead and record a quick audio training file or a delegation file, dump it in the Dropbox, and boom, they've got the content that they need to be able to learn how to do something or act upon. So any kind of voice sharing or voice recording, rather, file sharing, Skype calls are also great for training as well. But lastly, my favorite, and that's video. There's something about this particular medium when it comes to training VAs that I just love above and beyond everything else. The ability to do a screen capture of what's on my screen and talk them through why I like things done and why I need things done in a certain way is golden. Webcam conversations are also great as well because they can see you as you're talking through the training too. So never assume that a virtual staff member knows exactly how you want things done. Remember, even if they've got the skill set and the mindset and the personality, if they've got the experience for which of the role that you've been hiring them for, even if they've got all that, they've never worked for you before. They don't know how you want things put together. So spend some time at the beginning, right out of the gate, training them a little bit, making sure that they understand exactly how you want things done. You know, there's so many things that you can outsource nowadays. You know, there really is nothing that you can't hand off. And training is so, so, so important. Now, I often say there's probably just two things that you can't and shouldn't be outsourcing. The first thing is the creation of your original piece of content. So a blog post or an audio file, obviously, or maybe a video. Maybe you're creating a slide deck. You know, I kind of feel like a lot of this stuff can be done by other people, but ultimately it shouldn't be done by other people because it's your voice, it's your personality, it's your experience that people are signing up for. So don't go ahead and start outsourcing your content. Do that yourself. Remember what I said at the beginning, do what you do best and delegate the rest. Now, ultimately, the one area you've got to be real careful nowadays with this is social media. And across the board, I always say that it's not a good idea to outsource your social media management. Now, that's not to be confused with things like updating your Facebook page and programming tweets to go out. That can easily be done and should be done by a virtual assistant. But I'm talking about the actual interaction itself that goes on after that post or that tweet goes live. There's one particular situation that I've seen before where they probably should have outsourced the management of their social media. And allow me to introduce you to Amy's Baking Company based out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Now, you might have heard of this story. It was kind of known as the biggest social media meltdown a couple of years ago. And this particular company was featured on Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares, the program where he goes in and kind of, you know, discovers how a restaurant is being run and all the problems they've got. And he brings a team of people in and he redecorates the place and makes it full by using his celebrity status to fill it up for one night, just for filming purposes, obviously. But the fact of the matter is, it's a great show, a very popular show. And he went to Amy's Baking Company in Arizona and they discovered that, you know, they were keeping tips, they were firing people, due process, they were serving stale food, they weren't looking after customers or their team and all that sort of type of stuff. And the internet ate them up. They went all over the internet, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, Tumblr, I mean, you name it, they were just ripped to shreds on social media. Now, instead of putting up their hands and saying, you're right, we're sorry, we're going to start giving our team their tips, we are going to go through due process with them, we're not going to serve stale food anymore, we're going to keep our kitchen clean and all the rest of it, instead of just putting the hand up and say, we've been ousted, we're going to go ahead and make this right, instead of doing that, they went on the attack. And Amy gets started in her all caps lock rampage, saying, I'm Wonder Woman. I'm a great chef, a great wife, and a great mum to my kids, and we will be parents to a human kid one day. What sort of kids has she got now? I discovered later on, obviously, that it's dogs that she's talking about. And she finishes off, we will show all of you. Such a lovely lady. And not to be, you know, left on her own, her husband comes to her defense as well. He comes out and says, bring it on. I'm not going to say that word because, you know, it's rude. Come to Arizona. You're weaker than my wife, weaker than me. Come to my business. Say it to my face. Man to man. This is the best part, though. My wife is a jewel in the desert. You are all trash trying to bring us down. Laura decided, and this is why they really should have gone ahead and actually outsourced their social media. But Laura turns up and she says, a jewel in the desert, that's reaching. Maybe a wet camel fart in the desert, but even that's reaching, quite frankly, an insult to both camels and farts. Amusing. Nonetheless, Danny chimes in, I miss caps lock, bring back Amy. So, you know, this is a complete meltdown, obviously, and I want to point out the original post from the husband actually gets 120 people. Who likes that anyway? 120 people. But the camel fart joke got 415 likes. Hasten to said, obviously, in England, we have a very technical, very grown-up technical term for this type of situation, and that is a complete shitstorm. Could have been avoided if they maybe outsourced their social media. So on the whole, you shouldn't look at doing that, but every now and then, just to share that little story, as it is a fun one, you can sometimes go ahead and start thinking about it. Now I want to wrap up here and leave you with an exercise that literally changed my life. I mentioned the three list of freedom exercise right at the beginning of the book Virtual Freedom, and it pops up quite regularly, if any of you have read it, who will know, quite regularly throughout the course of the book. And when I say that this exercise changed my life, I genuinely, genuinely mean it truly changed my life. So what I want you to do is grab a piece of paper and a pen, or maybe your iPad, draw a couple of lines down whatever it is you're using to make notes on. You're going to create three columns on that piece of paper or on that page. On the first column, I want you to write down a list of tasks that you hate doing. Now, these are tasks that you procrastinate on throughout the course of pretty much every working day. You put them off right to the end, and then you rush to get them done. And you must do them because your business is demanding you to go ahead and do them. So that's the first list, is all the things that you just hate doing day to day. The second list is a list of all the things that you struggle with. Okay, now this is where that superhero syndrome that I talked about right at the beginning of the presentation here comes into play, because we do believe that we can do everything. We do believe that we're untouchable and indestructible, and you know, we can truly get everything done ourselves. But as we know now, this is not the case. Sometimes we do struggle, and sometimes we're not the best person for a particular job, and we should be looking to hire outside of our comfort zone. So that's a second list. Is all the things that you hate, that you struggle doing. And then lastly, is a list of all the things that you feel as the business owner yourself, you shouldn't actually be doing. Okay? When you think about it logically, you might actually enjoy doing some of these tasks. Hell, you might actually be really, really good at doing them. But the real question you need to be asking yourself is, should I be doing them as the business owner, as the head honcho in my business? Should I actually be doing these tasks? Or should I be giving them off to somebody else so I can focus on the more high-level stuff like strategizing for growth or coming up with new products, services, traveling to conferences, developing stronger, more enjoyable and more meaningful relationships with your top clients and that sort of type of thing. Now, once you put those three lists of freedom together, you're creating almost like a brain dump of all the tasks that you do hate doing, that you are struggling with, and that you feel you shouldn't be handling yourself. That becomes, once you figure them all out and sorted them all out into different roles that we discussed earlier on, that ultimately becomes your blueprint to start outsourcing and to start chasing down that virtual freedom that we all should be looking at attaining as entrepreneurs. Because there isn't enough time in the day to do it all yourself. Okay, there isn't enough time to be able to juggle all the things that you need to do that your business is demanding of you day to day. Time is our most valuable commodity. And as entrepreneurs, we have to make sure that we invest it as wisely as we possibly can so that our businesses can be run and supported and grown in a worthy and a time-sensitive manner, where we are focusing entirely on serving our audiences, taking care of our customers, and truly attaining that freedom that I feel, as an entrepreneur, was the main reason why we decided to go ahead and quit that last ever job that we had in the first place. It was about escaping from being tied down or shackled to a desk. It was about going after something that we believed in. And so my job here today is basically done. And I honestly, truly hope that you've been able to create a little bit more of a mindset shift internally to get you to start thinking about what's possible when you bring on board virtual staff to help you run, support, and build your business. If you would like to go ahead and find out a little bit more about the concepts in the book, there's some videos and a few other bits and pieces over on chrisducker.com/book. And I would love to hear any questions at all. All you got to do is just go ahead and tweet me at Chris Ducker. I'm on that social platform on a daily basis. Thanks very much, and I appreciate your attention.